Big changes came to the video games industry this year. In September, we saw a flood of new games hit the market. Many of them had been pushed back because of pandemic-related delays, and major titles released games with a more diverse lineup of representation. Behind the scenes, workers called for this year, among other things, better working conditions and a push to unionize. Maddie Myers has been following all of it. She's the deputy editor for games at Polygon, and she joins us now to talk about the best games and the biggest stories of the year. Welcome, Maddie.
Hello.
Maddie, media critics are always swamped by the end of the year, but this year has been especially busy. Just how many notable games have come out recently?
Oh, so many. We've seen the release of Halo Infinite, and it's fantastic. It was supposed to come out last year along with the new Xbox, and it got delayed multiple times, in part because of the pandemic. But that's a more major game that came out this year. My personal favorite, Metroid Dread, the Nintendo game. That game came out in the fall as well, wasn't delayed, to my delight, and just... it's wonderful. That would be on the Nintendo Switch, which is still, despite new consoles coming out last year, the Nintendo Switch is still the best-selling console week after week, as I'm sure your listeners know very well.
Well, I can hear in your voice just how much you're into Metroid Dread, the latest in a series that actually started way back in 1986.
That's right.
So the game opens with a lone bounty hunter on her way to a mysterious planet. Let's listen.
The bounty for this mission does not seem appropriate. The risk clearly outweighs the reward.
Entering the atmosphere in T-minus 10. Huh.
Maddie, I'm kind of afraid listening to this. I feel like I'm going to some dystopian world.
Yeah, you are.
What do you love so much about this game?
I love going into a dystopian world, honestly. I love that the heroine Samus Aran is able to meet any alien foe she encounters and fight back with her suit of armor, her arm cannon. She flies through space in her little ship. She's a freelancer. As somebody who works in journalism, I could always relate to that side of things. All of that resonated with me. And Samus has been around as one of the first prominent female characters in games back in 1986. And now it's just kind of normal that a lady in armor is out there fighting in a video game on a major console, the Nintendo Switch. And that's kind of neat. And to me, sums up a lot of what I think we're about to talk about today with how much games have changed, especially this year, and how exciting of an industry they've become.
Right. I mean, 2021 has been a big year for representation. The shooter game Deathloop has not one, but two black leads. And they've got jokes. Let's listen.
How does it feel to be dead?
At least I left a pretty corpse.
Next time, focus less on outfit and more on the situational awareness. What the No wonder she hates me. She misses all my best material.
Okay, this sounds really entertaining. Tell us a little bit more about it.
It's very entertaining. So Deathloop is a game that plays with the idea of dying and starting back over again. But these characters remember it every single time they die because they're trapped on an island together, stuck in a time loop. And one of them, the male character Colt, is trying to escape the time loop. And the female character Juliana wants to preserve it and live forever. And so they are in constant battle, trading quips with each other, very hilarious dialogue. Mm. And the fact that it's two black leads in a game that was award-winning, nominated across many publications, it's on our top 50 games of the year at Polygon as well, is pretty incredible. Again, compared to even 5-10 years ago, it'd be hard pressed to think of a game with a black lead, let alone two. But what the tension is that I see is that then the programmers and artists and everyone else, the video game CEOs, are still usually white, straight guys. And those are the people who are making a lot more money. And that's the part that, as somebody who reports on the industry, I'm really interested in unpacking some of that and seeing if we can share that wealth and also bring more people in to make the games that are featuring more and more diverse people.
Well, we've been talking quite a bit this year about working conditions for the gaming industry. One of the biggest controversies this year, the state of California sued Activision Blizzard, which produces the massively popular Call of Duty and the World of Warcraft games, over claims of sexual harassment and discrimination. There have been, since then, more allegations of abuse. Workers have been protesting. Walk us through this. How did this story start and where is it going?
So this story probably actually started 10 years ago, as some of the allegations in this lawsuit claim, where many marginalized people who work there, especially female employees and female employees of color, were experiencing sexual harassment on the job, massive pay discrepancies. Their work was getting sidelined and ignored, or so they say, according to this lawsuit's terms. And those workers' stories are finally coming out. And Activision Blizzard has had to actually respond to this lawsuit. At this point, it's become multiple lawsuits. And the workers have been actually bonded together publicly in what they're calling the ABK Workers Alliance. It's not an official union that's recognized, but they have some unionization discussion happening amongst them. And they've been receiving some emails from management that I would say, in my personal opinion, seem to be discouraging unionization. But clearly the workers are banding together in order to push back against what some are calling a sexist workplace, as well as a toxic culture of overwork. And that's just been fascinating to see unfolding this past year.
Yeah, I mean, we're actually seeing some places like the small studio Vodeo Games actually unionizing. You mentioned Activision Blizzard employees have been trying to unionize. Mm-hmm. What does this tell you about the state of the labor market overall in the industry? Do you think it's going towards unionization across the board?
I really hope so. It's extremely difficult for a very large studio like Activision Blizzard to unionize because there are so many employees across different studios. But something like Vodeo Games, which is a smaller studio that does have workers in both Canada and the US, they have 13 employees. That small studio, where they're already relatively happy as independent game creators, they were able to sign a union contract together and get recognized by management without too much fuss. Okay, Activision Blizzard, that's 9,500 employees. That's a huge amount of people. And not all of those people are necessarily going to want to be in the union. Should the artists be in the same union as the programmers? Right. Should the audio designers be there? What about contract workers? The list goes on and on. I think the solution we're going to see eventually is something akin to the film industry, where we see unions for different kinds of jobs. Voice actors for games are often already unionized, so this isn't as much of an issue for them as it is for, say, an audio designer who's mixing their voice tracks who isn't in a union. And the other piece of your question that's implied, I think, is the extent to which the pandemic and remote work has also changed the conversation around work in general. Right. And that's absolutely happened in video games as well, where workers are now suddenly able to identify the issues with work-life balance that they were actually having all along and advocate for themselves in the midst of a stressful situation for workers across every industry in the world.
Well, Maddie, before I let you go, I want us to take a step back. Video games are not only getting more culturally important, we're seeing changes behind the scenes, as you mentioned here. More companies are moving into this space. I mentioned Netflix is pushing their own mobile games now, not to mention the big budget shows it funded based on game franchises like this year's hit Arcane. Let's listen.
Power, real power, doesn't come to those who are born strongest or fastest or smartest. No, it comes to those who will do anything to achieve.
Do you think that we're only going to see more overlap between games and other media going forward?
Oh, absolutely. Arcane is a great example, actually. So this is a show that's based around the video game League of Legends by Riot Games, another massive company that has had its own problems. But let's table that for now. So that show, it dovetails along with other League of Legends projects. Like, they have an alternate universe K-pop group, KDA, that features alternate universe versions of characters from the game that are wildly popular on YouTube. And then they have multiple games, like this game Ruined King, that's sort of like a visual novel style take on League of Legends. That combined with the popularity of Arcane, which is a TV show that you can watch and enjoy, even if you have never heard of the game at all, you can enjoy these other pieces of media. And then that might lead you back over to the game. And I think that companies like Netflix are doing the same sort of thing by incorporating mobile gaming into a place where people are already hanging out. You're already hanging out on the app Netflix. It's probably on your phone. If you're me, maybe you watch Netflix shows while you're waiting in line somewhere. But what if you could also play a game? And what if the game had to do with a show you already really liked on the app, like Arcane or something else? Like, what if there's a Queen's Gambit game that like teaches you some really cool chess tips? I don't know. I just made that up. Netflix, don't take my idea. But I can see it totally, because we've already seen this unfolding with games like Fortnite, where they're as much a social platform and like social media app as they are a video game. I do think we're going to see an increased flattening of that. I am trying not to say the word metaverse, but I'm thinking it.
Yes, of course. We're all thinking about the metaverse.
Yeah, yes. All the time.
That's Polygon Deputy Editor for Games, Maddie Myers. Thank you so much and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. And thank you for having me on.